This is a church of brotherly love, or our love for the brethren. That's what Philadelphia means, love for the brethren. And we're going to begin in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Over and over throughout these churches, the Lord is always saying, "He who has an ear." Because we can hear with our natural ear, you know, but not receive, not understand. So we need to pray for understanding and ask the Lord to help our unbelief. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the one who will lead us into all truth and show us things to come. So this church really received great commendation from the Lord. And it was known as a faithful church. These folks are really faithful. And Philadelphia was founded in 189 B.C. by colonists from Pergamos, from the other church we talked about, and was established in a city now called, I'm going to say it's Alasir, Turkey, which means city of God. It seems that Jesus had a special love for the people of this faithful church in verse 9. And so the church of Philadelphia had open doors of opportunity for missionary outreach and Christian witness. And Paul prayed from that prison. And this was in Colossians. And to the Colossians he wrote, "Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." So Paul had prayed, that God would open doors for him to be able to speak. And I pray the same way, and we should do the same. We should ask God to open doors of opportunity, because God is the one who opens the door that no man can close, right? And so he said in verse 3, "Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains." Now, the reason why we need to pray about these things is because we need God's intervention, and God gives us the assignment to call in his presence. Amen. And the Lord is the one that opens those doors. If you don't pray, things don't change. God has called us to prayer as a royal priesthood. And we need to understand the importance, the value of prayer. Don't think that you're not being heard. Don't think that it's not important. That's a lie from Satan. He doesn't want us to pray. So he tries to convince people that they're just wasting their time by talking to the Lord. Have you heard that voice before? Ever felt like maybe your prayers aren't being answered? Well, just because God doesn't immediately answer your prayer doesn't mean he's not listening. Amen? And there's things that you may have prayed about 10 years ago that may come to fruition any time now. But if you hadn't prayed, it wouldn't happen. Everything is in God's perfect timing, but we need to pray in agreement with his will. And we need, again, to pray, even as Paul said. The great apostle Paul knew he needed God. He needed his help. Pray for me, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan. So this is really a missionary church. And an outreach church. And they were a witness for the Lord. And, in 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul said this, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." So we need to understand also that when God does open a door, when God's getting ready to move, there's going to be opposition. there's going to be attack from the enemy. And this is why a lot of people quit and they don't even persevere or continue, because they don't want to be troubled at all in their life. They just want an easy ride. Are you hearing me, somebody? But we're in a war, and you can't be passive in a war or you'll get clobbered. You know, you'll end up becoming a slave to your enemy. If you think you can just be passive in this and that everything is just going to go on its merry way and according to God's plan, no, that's why we must pray and intercede that God would work through, amen, our intercession as a royal priesthood, a representative of him on the earth here, for his kingdom to come and will to be done here, for his purposes to be accomplished here. But we cannot be in neutral zone or in passivity and expect things to change. That's been the problem in America. We've given a lot of these things over to other people to do. I've given our politics over to people, our schools over to other people. While the church has just been doing their church thing in their church box, amen, we've just been saying, well, let the world go away. And it is going away. It's going the wrong way. Because the church has not been salt. They haven't been light. They haven't been effective and being influencers in our society. And it begins at the individual level, you and I, being that witness, being that salt, being that light, being that firebrand for God. Amen. So we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God by praying and asking God to empower us to be a witness for him. And if we don't have a desire for the things of God, there's a problem. If there's no hunger and thirst for him, it means you're probably filled up with other things. And so we have a false sense of satisfaction. And so a person, as you heard it said, we can starve to death and not even realize they're starving. They can eat junk food, feel full, but be starving to death. You heard it said about the rabbit. You can't live on rabbit forever, okay? They say a person would starve to death if they just ate rabbit. It's not enough nutrition. Yeah. Reindeer is another one, huh? Yeah. But the Lord is the one who provides for us our daily bread, and we need to be nourished. You know, there's a lot of talk now about we need to build up our immune system, and I agree with that. But in order to build up your immune system, you can't just wake up one morning, take a couple vitamins, and all of a sudden your immune is just tip top. You have to work at it. Amen. You have to be consistent with your vitamins and your exercise and your rest, right? And getting the right kind of food. Fresh fruit and vegetables, for example, right? And so it is in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual life. We need to grow and develop, amen, and become strong in the Lord. And it doesn't happen at one trip to the altar. Some people just want somebody to lay hands on them and all of a sudden they're going to arrive, you know. You know what I'm talking about, right? Just lay hands on me so I don't have to do any work. I don't have to pray myself. You pray for me. Now, we pray for each other, and that's okay to ask for prayer. I think you should. We should. I should. Paul did, right? But we can't just rely upon our brothers and sisters. We have to have a personal walk with the Lord, personal relationship. Can you say amen? So we need to pray that the Lord will open doors of opportunity and that the Lord will give us the words to speak. Amen. The wisdom that we need. The boldness that we need, so that when we're under opposition from the enemy, we're going to stand strong. I just looked at an article of a street preacher up in Canada. Right now, Canada is really coming under some severe persecution and oppression. And they're activating, I mean, their military and their police to arrest Christians that are opening their doors. I mean, it's getting nuts. They've limited capacity to 10. Doesn't matter the size of the church, 10 only. They outside in a park, the cops showed up. This is on film. And they started threatening to arrest this one preacher because they had more than 10 people gathered in an outside prayer and praise gathering, amen, where they were having church in a park. And but this is what's coming down the pike. If things don't change here in America, we're looking at the same thing because that's what they're bent on. They want to shut us down. And people that think, well, there's somebody else that's going to pray, so I don't need to. Oh, pastor will pray, so I don't need to. Come on. We all need to be praying. Amen. First of all, for ourselves, for our families, for our wherever we find ourselves, our work environment. You know, but we need to be in connection with the Lord because apart from him, we can do nothing. Yeah. So I'm praying, Lord, stir up the hearts of your people to wake us up inside and salt us, amen, with your presence so that we become even more thirsty and delight in you even more and get excited again for the things of God. We're coming to explore God and discover more of him each time we get together. Well, I know what's going to happen. We're going to have three songs, a prayer, and a boring, stale message, and then we go home and take an aspirin from the headache. And you know, if we have an expectation that things are going to be like that, that's what you get. Yeah, because you have to come in faith before God and believe that God has. You know, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I think, I know, the enemy often works on people, you know, before there's any type of gathering. He starts, all of a sudden you're going to feel tired. All of a sudden you're not going to feel like going out. All of a sudden you're going to feel like there's just something more important on television. You know what I'm saying? Or the game or whatever it might be. And so he's trying to keep people from gathering, because that's why the people that are in our positions of authority right now, I believe it's deliberate. They're trying to use this COVID thing to shut everything down and shut the churches down, because the devil is behind a lot of this stuff. Let's face it. Amen. And he's threatened by people that are gathered, especially when we're singing praises to God. It's toxic to the enemy. And God dispatches his angelic hosts when we sing and praise the Lord. Amen. And so the enemy is threatened by these things. So he's looking for ways, clever ways to shut this down and stop this from happening. And he tries to work on fear, using fear as a tactic to get everybody afraid of each other, to stay away from anybody because you might be a spreader. Not only that, you might be a super spreader. Yeah. So anyways, back to preparation, prayer, not just waiting until something happens, amen, and then deciding, oh, guess what, I didn't pack any lunch with me. Oh, too late. You know, the Lord wants us to be ready in season and out of season. He wants us to always be ready, even to give an answer to anyone who asks us what of the hope that's within us. So that means that we have to be prayerful. We have to be connecting so that when the opportunity arises, we're alerted to it. We're aware that the Lord is moving in this situation. God is pressing me to do something, to talk or to pray or whatever it might be, to encourage, to pick up the phone and call somebody. Amen. But whenever doors open, it comes with opposition. But we've got to pray for the open doors, because that's how things change. That's how God works. Amen. And you and I, think about it. We are that open door. We're supposed to be a conduit. Amen. You know, you hear people talk about, well, there's a portal open in this area, and over here there's an area where there's a portal to heaven. It's like, so you've got to go to some geographic location to have communion with God. No. You and I are the temple of God. He dwells in us. We have a direct line. We are an open door. Amen. There is a portal over each one of us in that sense, right? An opening into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We can with confidence receive everything we have need of, but you have to ask for it. You know, even in the natural, sometimes people don't ask for help when they should. And you know, well, we don't want to ask people for help because, sometimes it's just our own pride. Right? And sometimes you got people that are always asking that should be working. Have you considered getting a job, Bob? Not Bob. Different Bob. Yeah. So anyways, the truth irritates the enemy. But it's the truth that brings freedom and deliverance and healing. Amen. So we've got to be speakers of truth. We've got to be living the truth. Amen. But it will be an irritation to our adversary because, again, it's our spiritual weapon. It is a sword of our spirit, amen, and the word of God, the truth. And so when you speak the truth, there's going to be pushback. And that's why, again, they're trying to silence the voice as well. Not only to keep us from gathering, but to silence our voice altogether by trying to tell us what we can say. what you can talk about, what you can preach. Well, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. We're going to speak the truth in love. And because of that, yeah, there's adversaries, there's opposition. Truth irritates the enemy. But in verse 7 here, we see a fourfold description of who the Lord is. Are you ready for this? And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. First of all, he is holy. The word holy means sacred, pure, or blameless. The Lord is sacred, pure, and blameless. Hebrews 7, verse 26, for such a high priest, the Lord, was fitting for us. Who is what? Holy. Harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Not only is he holy, but he is true. John 14, 6, we all know that well. Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen. I am the truth. Revelation 19, 11, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His name is what? Faithful and True. Jesus is he who has the key of David, it says. The key of David is an Old Testament allusion to the absolute sovereignty of God in opening and shutting doors. So in Isaiah, Eliakim, a type of the Lord Jesus, was given the key of the house of David to control the royal chambers and choose the servants in the royal household. So this was a great responsibility. In Isaiah 22, 22, the key of the house of David, I will lay on his shoulder. Who's that? Eliakim, he's talking about. So he shall open, and no one shall shut. And he shall shut, and no one shall open. So he's a type of Christ here in the Old Testament. Eliakim was firmly established in his position, and he was given complete authority in his sphere of service in the house of David. Now, Revelation 22, 16, the Lord said, I am the root and the offspring of David. He's what? The root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. Jesus is both David's root and offspring. What does that mean? Well, how many know that David was created? Amen. Jesus was before David, right? All right. But also Jesus was born as a man in the lineage of David, right? From his seed, right? And so from the seed of, you know, basically the woman, but all the way up through David's line. Also, it's interesting that you can trace some other time maybe, but Joseph and Mary, okay, there are actually connections throughout history that trace all the way back that they were both in the line of Messiah. Jesus came through both lines. However, we know that Joseph never knew Mary, amen, until Jesus was born. All right. Now, the Lord is the one who opens and shuts these doors. In John 10:9, he said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We need to hear God's voice. We need to recognize God's voice. Amen. You ever question, was that God, or is that me, or is that the devil? Sure. Yeah, well, the closer we get to the Lord and the longer we walk with him, the more that we get to recognize and discern his voice. Amen. If you hear a message and you know the Lord is speaking in that message, your spirit will leap within you and you'll say, amen. Hallelujah. I heard the Lord speaking to me in that. Amen. Because it's true. And those who are of the truth, Jesus said, hear God's words. We love the truth because we love Jesus, who is the truth. Amen. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 8 now, I know your works, he said. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Remember Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Jesus said, you have little strength. Now, we know that our strength comes from the Lord, and we can do all things through him who, what, strengthens us. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves in regards to his ministry, right? But our sufficiency is of God. He said, we have this treasure, what, in an earthen vessel. So our sufficiency is of God. It comes from Him. The power, the ability to make change will come from the one who alone can change hearts. We just need to be a willing, yielded vessel and a house of prayer. We need to be that house of prayer. Amen. So the Lord, amen, as we walk with Him, amen, He will open doors for us. How many here pray for open doors? Yeah, you pray for open doors, pray for opportunity. If you don't start doing it, amen, and then you need to be watchful. Because if the Lord's opening a door, an opportunity for you, you got to be aware of it, right? So we got to pay attention, amen? Sometimes we can allow opportunities to pass us by. And understand that God gives us a season, amen, in this life. And even seasons and times and seasons within our lifetime to accomplish certain things. And those opportunities have a time frame. Amen. If you don't seize the opportunity at the right time, you can miss out on opportunity and it will pass you by forever. And how many know that's true? So we got to be paying attention. We have to be prayerful and studying. Amen. What can God do through our human weakness? Well, here's one that we're all very familiar with, but it's a good reminder. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You know, I listened to the testimonies, and most of you, I've heard your testimonies, you've heard my testimony. And, you know, it's just amazing what God has done in our lives, you know. And bringing us from where we were to where we are now is by the grace and by the mercy of God that we are who we are today. Amen. But God uses weak vessels. He uses people who are aware of their weakness, people who are aware of their spiritual poverty. You can't use proud people who are full of themselves. Amen. You can't be full of Jesus and full of you at the same time. So we have to, like John said, I have to decrease these so He can increase, right? Now, I also know that he was talking about the end of the law and the prophets, meaning I'm going away, I'm fading away, and Jesus is coming on the scene. But it also means that we have to submit, place ourselves under the authority of the Lord. That's humbling yourself, amen. And then God lifts you up and uses you because He's got a vessel that's user-friendly. So God uses foolish, you know, things of the world to put to shame the wise. And that's why sometimes the enemy gnashes his teeth at Christians. You know, because what God does through people who most people will say, oh, isn't this a carpenter's son? Right? I mean, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And they didn't know who they had in their midst. And I've shared testimonies before of people I've known that they were great men, women of God. And yet, in the eyes of the world, they might have been very despised or they just thought they were a nobody. But God worked powerfully through them because they knew in their own eyes they didn't have it. So they leaned heavily on the Lord and the grace of God was released through them because God had a vessel He could use. Amen. So when I'm weak, Paul said, then I'm strong. When I realize that in myself I don't have the power. Amen. But we have the power in Jesus' name. Amen. But it's not willpower that's going to accomplish the job. Willpower will never change anybody. If anything, it'll just irritate somebody. You know, a self-willed person, strong-willed person, can be very irritating. Don't say amen, Jesus. Yeah. But God's been working in our lives throughout the years, though, in preparing us through brokenness, through situations and things, hardship, to get us to a place where we can be, say, Lord, we're with You all the way. We're trusting You now. I don't put any confidence in the flesh. My confidence is in You. My sufficiency is of You and not of me. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, here it is. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord, here it is, they shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Take the time. Regenerate. You know, so you plug your phone in at night, you know. I don't want a phone that's going to conk out halfway through the day. So I let that thing do a full charge, right? And so it is, we're kind of like that. You can be like a battery, you know. Isn't that true? That if we don't sufficiently fill up on the Lord, we'll leak out and it seems like we'll just get kind of, we'll run out of steam real fast. And so we need to be prayerful. And that's why I want to encourage you, continue to come and pray. Come early. We need to pray and prepare, amen, for even our gatherings here. And we can visit afterwards, say hello to everybody, but just come on in and let's gather. Let's join. We need to understand the seriousness of the time we're living in right now. It requires, amen, God's divine intervention. We've got all the Satanists and the witches around the country that are storming their devil, amen, night and day, trying to get power from him to bring destruction. We should be storming heaven, amen, to bring about healing and restoration and salvation. And all the good things that God wants to accomplish. But he's looking for a people who will stand in the gap. So we've got to be a people that are saying, Lord, here am I, use me. I make myself available. And we have to be disciplined in that. You have to take the time, make the time. And you know, to me, it's good to put myself out, if you will, on the limb. Because then it keeps me accountable before the Lord. I know that when I'm out there, and I'm stepping out for Jesus, then I need to rely upon the power of Jesus. Amen? But my flesh sometimes does not want to do, most of the time, the will of God. My flesh wants to be comfortable. My flesh doesn't want to be troubled. My flesh just wants to cruise, you know? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die kind of mentality, you know? But that's not what we're called to. We're soldiers enlisted in God's army, and we are not our own. We've been bought at a price with the precious blood of Christ. We belong to him now, and so we need to be about his business, and that means we have to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to be an effective witness for Jesus every day. And one of the most powerful witnesses is that you and I are people of integrity, people of our word, people that can be trusted. And the world looks at us and says, now that's a follower of Jesus because they are faithful. They're trustworthy. They're integrous people. You know, they're people of their word. When they tell you something, they mean it. They don't lie. They don't cheat. They don't cheat on their taxes. Amen. They don't steal from their neighbor. They don't move their neighbor's property line boundary, right? Whatever it might be, but you guys understand what I'm saying, is that we are representatives of the Lord here. And we're either going to bring reproach upon the Lord or bring glory to the Lord. And I don't want to dishonor the Lord because I allowed my flesh to do what it wants to do. I need to deny that part of me that wants to rebel against what I know God has called me to do and be in this world. Amen. So I need to rely upon the power of God in order to overcome my outer man or my fleshly nature. And if you don't do that, guys, it's obvious, right? It's obvious when you start getting off into the flesh, you start getting weak because all of a sudden now you're starting to get irritable, start complaining. You're all moving right along. Yeah. This church, though, had the blessing of God, the favor of the Lord, because they were doing what pleased the Lord. And it's really the only one that really didn't have a notable rebuke. And it's, again, they were walking in the agape, the love of God. And, you know, the Lord commended them because they kept his word in verse 8. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against you. We know that so well. And so in order to keep the word, you've got to hide it in your heart. Amen. You got to get it from just the head into the heart. Amen. To where it becomes part of you and it changes you. Hallelujah. How many of you were transformed by the word? Amen. Hallelujah. The spirit and the word working together in us. So, what did the Lord do? He commended them because they did not deny him. They kept his word. They were faithful to him and they did not deny him. Now, I'm sure they were pressured to deny the Lord because, again, they were living in a pagan society. And they were surrounded, amen, with paganism and all that goes with that. Sex cults. And so they were constantly being bombarded with these things. So they needed to rely upon the ability that God supplied them to overcome their fleshly instincts to be drawn away after these other things. But by the grace of God, they were overcoming. And the Lord was commending them, because when they had the opportunity to deny him, he says, "You didn't deny me. You didn't deny my name." Now, you know as well as I am, we're commanded not to deny him. Amen. And if we do, it says he will deny us. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Again, everything that we're able to accomplish in this world of eternal value and significance is from the grace of God. It's by the grace, by the ability of God, that we can bear fruit. Amen. Unto eternal life. To have a treasure in heaven. Hallelujah. We're instructed to trust him, to be patient, stand firm, and never deny his name. Revelation 3 and verse 9, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, remember we talked about this before, the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Now, the synagogue of Satan, who is the synagogue of Satan? Really, these are the false professors that don't have the substance, which is Christ. In other words, they're actually functioning and operating from the flesh and not from the spirit. So how many know that people can do Christian things entirely in the flesh? And people can do, they can preach sermons entirely in the flesh, because if they don't have the Spirit of the Lord in them, they're nothing more than a hireling. Amen. They don't have the substance, which is Christ. And so this is the problem in America, is, of course, the liberal media likes to take the unsaved pastors out there, the ones that don't really have the Spirit in them, and the ones that are right in agreement with what Satan wants, and bring them on and put them on mainstream media. Amen. And ask them their opinions about, you know, sex and relationships and all these things. And of course, if a person is not born again, they're not going to see the kingdom. Amen. And if we don't have the Spirit of God in us, then we're no match for their adversary. And so what happens is we become a coward and we start bowing down to what is politically correct and what the society around us dictates rather than what the Lord is telling us to do. We must rely upon God, amen, for the strength to be bold, to be strong, to have courage, to do the opposite of what the world is pressuring us to do in a disagreement with what God wants. Amen. So he said in Romans chapter 2, Paul said, verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Very important. The praise is from God. Amen. We should be looking for approval from the Lord, not from men. And sometimes, you know, when we are doing the right thing and we are pleasing the Lord, some people are not going to be too happy with us, you think? But who are we going to serve and who are we here to please? And the ultimate goal is to hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Yeah, because everyone is going to bow their knee to him. Hallelujah. So we bow now, submit, allow the Lord to fill us with his power, his ability, so we can rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit and be a bold, courageous witness for Jesus. Amen. To stand on the truth and not waver. The only way we're going to overcome is by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the Word of our testimony, in agreement with what God has done already. Hallelujah. How many know that when you testify of what God did then, it brings what he did then into the now? And that's why communion needs to be celebrated. Passover was to be remembered so that they wouldn't forget what the Lord had done for them then, and they could be reminded and refreshed in the now. Amen. It's almost like having an attitude adjustment or being recalibrated, you know, getting your bearings again. Now, he talks about verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. Jesus said this to test those who dwell on the earth. The hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. The hour of trial has never happened yet to the whole world. And yet he's speaking to a historical church. However, I believe it also can speak, amen, to certain time periods throughout history as well. And so he said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you," Jesus said, "that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So true believers are promised an escape. I know some people, "Oh, you escapist mentality." No, Jesus said that there will be an escape for those who are prepared, those who are ready. And what are we escaping? He didn't say we're going to escape tribulation. He says we're going to escape the wrath of God that's coming upon the whole world. Now, that word tribulation means pressure, affliction, anguish, persecution, or trouble. So in the world, you're going to have pressure and affliction and anguish and persecution and trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, Paul said, "For God did not appoint us, the church, to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Wrath means violent passion, punishment, anger, indignation, or vengeance. Different word. So God has not redeemed his church, amen, his bride, his people, to submit or subject them, should I say, to his violent passion, his punishment, his anger, his indignation, or his vengeance. Amen. Because, praise God, our sins have been judged at the cross. Amen. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he wants us to be with him. So he's made a way for us to be pure through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So that we could be qualified to be in his presence, so that we would not have to go through this time, amen, of God's wrath, when his wrath will be poured out upon the whole earth. It's called the day of the Lord. And this has not happened in a world scale yet, but it's coming. And in the world we have tribulation, amen. And some of our brothers and sisters are paying the ultimate price right now, aren't they? For their faith. But God bless them if they're willing to stand strong to the end. Amen. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The Lord will save those who do not deny his name. And we will have the grace that we need as long as we call upon him. That's all we got to do, guys, is call on the Lord. Amen. And he will rescue us. Revelation 3:11. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." He's saying you can lose your crown if you start compromising with the world and with sin. He's saying you're going to have to hold fast. Amen. Stay close to me. Rely upon me. So we must be faithful to receive the eternal riches or rewards of heaven. In Revelation 3 and verse 12, he said, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, we see four blessings or promises to overcomers. Number one, he says the first thing is that I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He who overcomes. What does this pillar speak of? A pillar speaks of stability, right? Strength, of permanence. In other words, you and I will be permanently, amen, in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In the city. And then he said, I will also give them a new name, right? The name of God written upon them. This shows what? Ownership. When we have children, we give them a name. Amen. They're our child and we've given assigned a name to them. Amen. That they take on the family name. And overcomers will will also be allowed, of course, access to the city. Also, he said, the name of the city I will give them shows heavenly citizenship. And, of course, my new name means that you and I in Christ are a joint heir. We have the family name. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, the enemy wants to put his mark on the foreheads of people. Amen? But God's going to mark his people, amen, on the forehead. Hallelujah. That will identify us as a child of God. Hallelujah. Sealed by the Holy Spirit of God till the day of redemption. I'm believing, aren't you? Philadelphia represents, again, a loving and faithful church. And I pray that we, amen, as part of God's kingdom around the world, amen, will be, at least where we are in our camp, are going to be a faithful people, a loving people, amen, faithful to the Lord, a persevering people, overcoming people, amen, that we're going to glorify the Lord, amen. Why? Not for me, but for Jesus, for his name's sake, because we represent him. Hallelujah. See, God's dealing, I think, with a lot of us ministers, you know, during this hour. And a lot of the pride is being brought down. And God's going to have a people. Amen. And he's a good father and he loves his children. And so if we need an attitude adjustment, he knows how to do that. I'm thankful that I had a dad who knew how to give an attitude adjustment once in a while, you know. Yeah. And we raised our daughter the same way. We loved her enough to be strict with her at times, sometimes too strict maybe, but, you know, we loved her. And so we did our best, amen, to do our best for her, also to raise her in the fear of the Lord, amen. Fear and admonition of the Lord. And we're proud of her because she is a good girl, young woman. I'm going to tell you how old she is, but she's getting up there. She's like, yeah, I am. Yeah. I'm not going to embarrass you anymore, Jude. I'm moving right along here. So, but I just said this. May we also be found faithful and loving, amen, to the end. We've got to guard our hearts, guys, because of the iniquity that abounds. We can become bitter, you know that. We can allow the enemy to get in and poison us through all the stuff, through offenses. You know, Jesus said that many in the last days would betray one another. Many would be offended, he said, and then they would betray one another. And then they would hate one another as a result of the betrayal. Yeah. And we're seeing that. You know, we're seeing such division now. Even among Christians, you know, division. That's not God's heart. Amen. We've got to guard against that. That's the enemy. The Lord wants us to be united in the bond of peace in the Holy Spirit. If you and I stay close to the Lord, we'll continue to love and get along. Amen. Not that we're always going to agree, but we'll learn how to respectfully disagree. Amen. But work together. Amen. For the King and his purposes. Hallelujah. And I'm not referring to doctrine, okay, or to false doctrine, anything like that. But we, even when it comes to doctrine, we have to take a look at it and determine whether or not it's something worth fighting over. Some people, they have these petty little doctrines and things that they cause division over. You know, are you a pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? I don't know. I'm a ready-to-go-at-any-time kind of guy, you know, so... But that's where we need to be. We need to be ready to go. Luke chapter 21, verse 34, I'll finish with this. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. You see, the enemy is successfully distracting so many people and getting them preoccupied with all kinds of stuff that has no eternal value. Amen. We have to take care of our daily lives. Amen. I get that. There are certain liberties we have as children of God. But we need to be careful that we don't overindulge the things of this life so that we become dulled. We lose our passion. We lose our flame, our fire, our zeal for God. And so if we're being distracted and by lesser things, we need to get back to the Lord And we need to reignite that flame within us again. And we need to get on fire for Jesus again. And we need to get a passion for Jesus again. Amen. To where the Lord is the most important one in my life. Amen. He's my greatest treasure. Amen. As much as I love Jesus, Jesus is first. Amen. Say amen, honey. And the same thing is true for her, because we know that's the right priority, is Jesus first. Amen. And you and I are family. Amen. We're the family of God. And, you know, we cannot put one another, and we can't put our even our loved ones before the Lord. Amen. Because at the end of the day, guys, when it's all said and done, when our life is over, the only thing that's going to remain is what we have done in obedience to the Lord. That's it. Hallelujah. There's not going to be a New Horizons section in heaven. We're all going to be God's perfect people. Amen. Perfected. And we're all going to have a great hallelujah celebration time for all eternity around the throne. And I believe God's got plans. Amen. He's going to reestablish his throne over the earth. He's going to put down a rule and authority. He's going to have a 1,000-year reign. Amen. And I believe that those who have endured with him will also be with him in that time. And so even in that day, the church will be actually be judging angels to the faithful ones that I believe are caught up to be with him. The ones that were prepared are the ones that he's coming for. Amen. In an hour when you think not. When he returns to this earth, guys, it's going to be visible. Amen. But there's a catching away that's going to be like that, because he's taking his bride first. Amen. And then comes the wrath. Amen. But the Lord is going to eventually come and he's going to establish his reign over the earth. Hallelujah. And that's another whole teaching for another day. But I believe that those who have been faithful now will be with him then. Amen. And we'll be in a different order. We'll be the church, the bride. We'll have glorified bodies, because the Bible is very clear that there will be people on the earth again during that time that lived to 800, 900 years like they did prior to the flood. Many years. Yeah. So the church, we're eternal. Hallelujah. In Christ. Amen. We're receiving a body that will not decay. Amen. So there's a different order. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad we're privileged to be King's kids, you know? And for what he's done and how he's brought us to himself. And he wants us to share in his kingdom, share in his glory. He prayed that in John 17 in this order. First, we serve him. We glorify him. Then the day comes when he has us sit down at his table. And he said, I'll gird myself and I will what? I'll serve you. Wow. I'm going to be like Peter. No, Lord, not me, you know. But think about it. There's a world around us, you know, that needs to know that God is inviting everyone, whosoever will, to come to the wedding. The Father's setting everything up. All the preparations are made. The only thing that's left to do, I believe, is for the command to go and to get your people, get your bride. And so now's the day, today, the day of salvation, where we invite people to the wedding. Hallelujah. And to those who are faithful. So he said, be careful that you don't let your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Because I've seen a lot of Christians go that route. They once walked with the Lord and now they're just completely shipwrecked. In verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, now here it is again, in agreement with, I'll keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Guys, I'm all for this. I don't know about you. I want the escape. Amen. And God has not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish with verse 21 of Jude, chapter 1, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This is what we do by praying in the Holy Spirit. looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen.